This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is The Woods,
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios.
Woof, Grr.
It's Thursday night, that means you're in time for The Woods on Joy 94.9. My name's Big Bear Mark, and tonight I'm joined by some usual cohorts. I've got Bear Curious Dean. How you going, Dean?
I'm going very well, thanks, Mark. Let me just send this tweet. Hang a second. Okay, I'm done. Can I just say thank you for letting me be the first openly gay male to appear on The Woods?
Thank you.
Such an honour.
Thank you, Sam Smith.
Thank you.
oh, he did make a right cock up, didn't he?
But...
I know.
How awkward.
Very awkward indeed. Mm. Also, we've got in the studio Just James. How are you going, James?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Good.
Good.
Nice to be back this week. And we've also got pressing the buttons this week is the Cub reporter or work experience Cub, Robbie. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Mark. You know I'll answer to anything.
Well, and that leads us to tonight's topic.
That segues nicely.
Yeah, it does. Tonight we're going to be talking about relationships and in particular dominant sub relationships or dom sub relationships. And to help us on this journey tonight, we've got Riverkeeper in. Hi, Riverkeeper. How are you going?
Good evening.
Good evening indeed. So this, I'll just give a little bit of a warning. This may get a little racy, this show. So if you don't want to hear something, that's you, Mandy. you may have some sensitive ears. Might be better to listen to
music. Yeah, there will be adult themes discussed.
Adult themes discussed tonight. Saying that, let's get stuck into it. Now, Riverkeeper, you identify as a dom.
That's
right. Is that correct? Now, maybe you'd like to give us a bit of an idea of a dom sub relationship, and because people throw around the words master and a whole lot of things, but in essence, what is a dom sub relationship?
Well, essentially, it's about power exchange and about the individuals concerned working through a relationship where one surrenders or submits himself to the other, and so it's about power and control and having that freedom within that sort of relationship. So it's a lot of fun, very exciting, but it can also be problematic in some ways as well. So we also at some point might need to look at the safety angles, both the physical and emotional as well.
Absolutely. So it's not, as I understand, it's not just about sex. It is actually about power exchange and relationships. Is that correct?
That's right. So the sexual element can be there, but it doesn't necessarily have to be there. There are a great range of power exchange relationships where there is absolutely no sexual activity involved whatsoever.
See, it's so interesting because I've always assumed that it was just about the sex.
Well, no, yeah, and I was actually saying before the show, I saw a documentary, I think it was last week, where there was a dom-sub relationship, and it was long distance, and it was all done via video, like, Skype and SMSs, and it's like it was a female dom and a male sub, and she basically had the relationship control through the electronics, so there was no sex there.
So
no,
online.
But the other angle of that, I guess, is that just like in sexual relationships, when we first get into it, we tend to get into masturbation, wanking, and ourselves, and we fantasize. So it's a lot about our own personal fantasies. So in a sense, a lot of the online stuff then goes off where the individuals concerned continue to think about it and enjoy the excitement of such a relationship. And in our regular vanilla lives, sex is a small part of the actual relationship in vanilla relationships as well. We still go to work and all that, and yet we still think about our partners and enjoy that.
Can I ask you, Riverkeeper, how did you come into that? What are we going to call it? It's the kink field, I suppose. It comes under the heading of kink, if you want to classify it. How did you come into the sub-dom area?
I'd always thought about it for myself in terms of being a dom, and yet when I was a teenager, I also felt that if I wanted to own another man, then I would need to actually have some skills and experience before I could take that sort of step. So I then entered a period, I guess, of exploring both sexually and also in other ways to learn my skills with others and over a number of years. And then eventually I felt that I could take that step to think about actually owning slaves.
So you said that... Now, this is one of the points. You said you basically honed your skills. What sort of skills are involved in being a dom?
There are the basic sort of technical skills in terms of the physical skills. So it can involve things like impact play, which can be things like spanking, flogging, whipping, cropping, belting, paddling and all of those sorts of things, and CBT, tit play, etc., which are quite sexual.
Just for the listeners at home, CBT?
Cock and ball torture.
Thank you.
and these are all practices that are practiced in a consensual way?
Yes, consent in terms of the other element that you were talking about, Mark, which was about the mental, the idea of... the way in which myself and a slave can interact, talk, negotiate, so that in a sense the physical triggers the emotional, and that's something that I really enjoy, which is just like in general sex, of course, vanilla sex, you have the physical and that triggers emotional satisfaction and enjoyment. So in kink play, we use the physical to actually trigger emotional satisfaction.
Well, I have so many questions. If any of our listeners have a question, you could SMS in on 0427 JOY949 or hit the email onair@joy.org.au.
In fact, we've already had an SMS in.
Already?
Yep, and I'm not sure who it's from. It doesn't have a name.
I think I can guess, actually.
The one I'm thinking of is the one that says, I don't have sensitive ears, only a sensitive soul, and I'm here to be educated.
Oh, good. You come to the right place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean, and I'm here with Big Bear Mark, Just James, and Robbie the Work Experience Cover. And we're talking to Riverkeeper about all things dom and sub. It's fascinating. I'm learning lots.
It is fascinating. And we were talking during the break, Riverkeeper, but one thing I do want to ask you is, we were talking about dom and stuff and power exchange.
That's right, and I had a question that I'd like to pose the panel.
Go
all
for
of
it,
you.
Yes.
In terms of dom-sub relationships, who has the power and control? Is it 100% the dom, 100% the sub, or 50-50, and why would you?
Yeah.
Why?
Ooh, I feel this is like a trick question.
No correct answer. Think what you...
My first uninformed thought would be the dom has all the power, but then I stop and think, no, I reckon it would be 50-50. I reckon it would be an exchange of power. I think the sub has to have some investment in it, so it would need some investment of power.
Mm.
So maybe 50-50 is where I'm going. I'm going to lock 50-50 in. Riverkeeper, lock it in.
Okay. I think typically for me, and I freely own to a fair bit of ignorance on the topic, Riverkeeper, but I think my kind of general opinion would be that the dom has the power, But a bit like Dean just said, I think, you know, I have a feeling now there's a bit of a trick question to this. And so maybe there's an exchange and it probably fluctuates depending on what the activity and what's going on.
And I think that's the secret. Well, that's the key in that it's the power exchange. So you are exchanging power.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, there. And this is a question I want to ask you, but I mean, I would assume that you have to have some sort of agreement when you go into an arrangement like this. And there has to be, you have to talk about it first. So there would be rules set up, and there would be have to be things that guide you in your journey. So I would say 50-50, but I would be leaning towards the Dom a little bit. Is there a right answer?
There's no right answer, but there are a number of views on the topic. For me personally, I put it down as 100% the sub.
Oh, okay. Wow.
None of us got that.
Didn't see that coming.
And that's normally a surprise when people hear that. And the reason I say that is that certainly when you're in a play scene and the Dom, as the Dom, I'm, you know, smacking a boy or bondaging him, etc., from the outside it looks as if, you know, I've got the control and the power. However, in good play, at any moment, at any point in the entire scene, the sub can call his safe word or make a signal to say, hey, yellow, slow down, or red, stop. So, in a sense, the sub has the power at any point to call it. And so, for me, I have to imaginatively create the scene within the limits and do it in a way that the sub isn't going to call it. And so, and that's a beautiful thing. So the sub craves not, you know, not calling it.
Yes.
And yet consent can be withdrawn at any time.
So consent and trust. I get there's a real strong sense of trust there.
Of course, yeah. You have to establish the connection and the trust to start with, and negotiate as Mark said. So, and that takes time.
So it's not just a random hookup. It is actually developing and negotiating and getting agreements in place.
In terms of a relationship, certainly. But and that's where you can get into the master-slave dynamics. Generally, dom-sub can be occasionally a random hookup in the sense that you negotiate, you come together, you play, and then you separate. But each time you do that, you have to renegotiate.
And I'm curious about that. You mentioned the yellow slow down, red stop. Is that a common theme? Is that something that's agreed to throughout the scene play, or is that individual, or how does that work?
Safe words tend to be
Armageddon.
That's a really Armageddon.
A common one I've heard is Armageddon.
Oh, the pineapple.
Because Armageddon's not
and
something.
And cacao. If you've ever watched Portlandia, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Like, as in chocolate.
As in chocolate. Yes.
Oh, okay.
What if you stutter?
The traffic light system tends to be in common use, but people often have other sorts of safe words as well. Another one might be something that is actually going to snap you out of that sort of headspace. Okay. So something very vanilla, such as the washing's on the line or something like that, that really harks back to the vanilla world, and then you go, oh, okay, I better slow down or stop.
I'm really struck by this a whole language around it. There's all these words and a lexicon around the whole BDSM practice and the play. Is that, how do you learn that? Is that something that people can do courses in? Or
There are workshops and skill shares around. In Melbourne, we have several that are run at different places that gay men can access. We've got Splinter in Brunswick. We also have occasional workshops at Manhouse and at Eagle Leather and the Laird as well.
Is it just a gay male thing, or is the kink community broader than that?
The kink community is huge.
And
interestingly, I have mainly straight and both women and male dom and sub friends now, because I tend to mix in the pansexual community. And Melbourne, we're very lucky. We have an enormous range of events. They all are very welcoming of gay men, so which is a really lovely thing that we're very integrated in a sense. And so, there besides the gay-specific events that we have, and they tend to be at the Laird or Club 80 or Manhouse, but generally the kink events are at Splinter, there's Provocation in the City. They can be found online at FetLife. So the best site around the world is a site called FetLife.com. It's Canadian-based, and, it's quite a beautiful site, and it lists all the events.
Yeah. Look, and when we were talking about terms before, one of the terms that you used was slave, and you've used it a couple of times tonight. Mm. In your personal experience, now, you've got slaves, or how would you describe, you've got partners? What's your personal situation?
Well, I'm pretty lucky. I'm polyamorous, so I believe in multiple relationships. So I have my boot boy, who's a lovely lad, and my boot slave, and the two of them serve as my partners. And then on top of that, I have a pup and a Ranga boy slave and a Ranga old guard slave. And then I have my kid brother Dom, my chosen kid brother, and he has his fox and his pig. And then on top of that, there are a range of others that we're associated with in our house. So we have a house. Some people see it as a pack. I guess it's a bit of a menagerie, really.
And when you say house, you don't mean physical house. You mean a community or a...
Yeah, that's right. Okay. It's a small tribe, I guess, in a sense.
Some of the terms. What's the difference between a boot boy and a boot slave?
Both of those are subs who also have a very strong sense of leather values and leather care, and they both serve as boot blacks. So they nourish and care for leather.
Ah, okay.
Mm. And there was a few other terms you used there. I didn't write them down.
The fox and the pig? Did you say Ranga?
I wasn't sure. I think you did say Ranga, didn't you?
I wasn't sure if you said Ranga or not.
And old guard.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. The old guard. There's a big mystique of the old guard. Lots of histories of it and different ways of looking at it. Some say that it's about post-World War II. Men came back from the war. They enjoyed... sexual freedoms and interactions in the highly emotional and violent theatre of war. And when they came back to vanilla life, they decided to form motorcycle gangs and secret societies. And so the idea of leather built up in terms of interaction between men. And it wasn't necessarily gay men. It was also others as well that enjoyed that man-on-man action. And... that then developed into a set of leather values or code, and there are various iterations of it. And then through the 60s and 70s with sexual freedom, it really burgeoned very well. And then sadly, with the rise of HIV, it meant that a lot of my peers passed away, and we lost a lot of the old guard. But we now have a revitalisation. So it's pretty awesome. We've got a really vibrant set of young leather men that are coming up and getting involved in the dynamics. There's a group on Facebook called Leather Mob. Mm-hmm. And we also have Vic Leather that I'm involved in as vice president. And that's really helping instill a sense of honour and code and respect for each other.
And one of the other things you did mention there was a pup. Now, obviously, I think pup is a fairly recent term that I've heard in the gay community and a growing, especially in the bear community. So you've got a pup as well.
I do, and the boot boy is a pup as well. And it's just beautiful. The whole idea of young gay men that are getting involved in nurturing dynamics in terms of power exchange and really letting themselves go by putting on a hood and taking that identity and really enjoying that dynamic of the rough and tumble of pup play is really beautiful. Recon, which is a popular site for kink, for gay men, in the last few months added a category of pups and handlers. We have a really lovely group called VicPAR, Victorian Pups and Handlers, that are both on Facebook and on FetLife, and hold events like a pup mosh, pup social,
Yeah, right. Vic, the Laird, has just introduced a pup session, I suppose, before Spit and Polish as
that's
well.
That's right, Leashed.
Which Leashed, was, yeah, that's right, which yeah. would have been on tonight.
Oh, so this is, I think I was at the Midsummer Carnival. I think I saw a young pup, I guess it was, a guy in a mask being walked
hood,
around.
Yeah,
a
hood, yeah, hood.
So that's what pup play is. Actually, so it's not Bear Cub and Otter. This is actually you are dressing as...
It's a dog persona, yeah.
Dog persona, okay.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And of course, you know, what are dogs? Dogs are awesome creatures that love you and are loyal and you, in fact, play with. So I also have a stray kitten in the household, and he's a lovely boy as well.
Oh, okay. So we're extending it to kittens and other, what's the word? Amphimoric?
Yeah.
Personas? Yes.
Animal stuff.
Animal, yeah, yes, animal stuff, exactly. Yeah. And if you want to join in the conversation tonight, please do so. You can SMS us 0427JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. This is The Woods on Joy 94.9. It's been really interesting so far, and I've loved talking about it. And one of the things that theme that I think is coming through is that theme of code, of trust, of security, of safety. It seems like you've got a very good code there. Or is that part of the dom-sub relationship?
It should be, and it is in good dom-sub relationships. But trying to get to that point can be difficult. And so for people that are seeking to be a dom or a sub, the journey is not the same as it used to be, because in these days we use dating apps and sites like Recon to try and find potential partners, play partners or otherwise, and there's no actual online guides that tend to be readily available. There's a lot of information there. So it's a bit of exploring, and to try and develop that sort of trust takes time. And sadly, you know, happens with all dating apps, you've got to be wary of the guys that just want easy sex and unsafe sort of practices. So I think that the idea that you espouse there about trust and safety and code is really important. But it's not about a particular code saying, you know, you're my sub, so you have to do what you're told. I mean, that's not the idea of it at all. The idea for me, for instance, is that I try to explain what I'm about, what I seek to do, and I inspire a sub to say, hey, I'm interested in calling you sir and taking it further.
And it comes back to that where you said the sub has the power. And I see that there's a lot of self-direction here, especially with a sub. And as you said, it would take a lot of trust. Now, I would be interested in... obviously, this can be abused, because we're talking about power. There can be abuse of power.
Yes.
What are some of the things that people should look out for if they're getting into this as new? What should someone who's interested in maybe being a sub or a dom who's coming into this, where should they go? What should they know? What should they look out for?
They should look out for what we term the one true way. So there is no one true way. There is no particular set of rules. So, and don't be isolated. So it's important that as a community we support each other, and you learn by making friends, going to... there are social events that are called munches, and there's a great many of them online that you can find. And so I would encourage subs to meet other subs and doms to meet other doms, and also across. And so you, as you start to make friends, similar to within Vic Bears and the bear community, the whole idea is that you meet each other and you start to work out who's trustworthy and who's not face to face. You can read lots of stuff online. There is a lot of resources, but really to talk to others, that's the important thing.
One of the things that occurs to me is in the... we talk often on this show about labelling, whether you're a bear or an otter or cub or LGBTIQ. I'm just interested, do people identify as dom and or sub, or can they be fluid in that and at times be dom and sometimes be sub? Is it a versatile thing, or is it do you commit to one label or the other?
That's an awesome point. There's commonly a term called switch, where a person can say, I'm a switch, and so at times I'll be a dom for this person or a sub for that person, depends on how my headspace is. In the old guard way, everyone started as a sub, learnt their craft and learnt through experience, and then moved on to become a dom or a master. So, but in the modern way, it's a free-for-all. You can choose how you want to explore yourself. And so you get fluctuating, exploring, there's gender fluidity, etc.
So switch is the equivalent of kind of verse?
Yeah.
Are there other roles, Riverkeeper? Are there things that, because I'm pretty ignorant of the whole scene. Obviously, dom, sub, I've learned about switch. Are there other roles that people can take or...?
Oh, an enormous amount. There, you can take it from literature, like a kajira or kajiris. You can go for the master, owner. You can also go for slave. You can have the primal identities, such as pup and kitten and etc. So yeah, That's about primal play.
Can you tell us a bit more about kajira, because I don't know what that is.
That comes out of some of the literature, and that's quite an old guard way of looking at things, and which is very much, it was gender-based, and that's very rare in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have had a question in from Just Chase, but I think we've probably just answered that, but I'll read it anyway. It says, is there more than one way to approach domination and submission in these types of relationships?
There are a great number of them. So some people really enjoy strictness, and they enjoy the fact that they'd like to have a relationship that's very strict and full of protocols, so that you have a whole set of rules, and if you break the rules, you are punished, etc. And setting up that sort of framework can be quite fun and exciting, both for the dom and for the sub. And it's a lovely game that you play, that you create, and a life that you create together. Others enjoy a far more fluid sort of arrangement, and so they like to, for instance, keep the kink in the bedroom and be equal partners outside. So there's no set rules, in a sense. It's the rules that you negotiate. The way I look at it is, I've got my identity, the things that I like, the things I don't like. I have a single requirement and a single hard limit, and I'm very clear about both of those. And potential slaves that I might interact with, I then explore and try and understand what their headspace is, and then that potential slave and I create things together, and we create something that's special one-on-one together.
Talking about creating things special, I was lucky enough last year to go to a collaring ceremony, which I've never been to before. And you, we were talking before the show, you're collared to two of your slaves. Or they're collared to you, sorry.
They're
way around.
That's right.
can you explain that a little bit and what that means?
So a collar, for me, a collar is something special. It's my collar that my slave seeks to wear. And so they submit to me, they offer themselves, and I choose to say, yes, I would like to collar you. And then by placing that my collar on their neck, it's a sign, a physical sign of the connection between us. And me holding the key is very powerful, in the same way that chastity can also be powerful. And it's like wedding rings or other symbols that people have, I guess, in some ways. Those physical objects can be highly powerful and very reassuring in terms of that sort of relationship.
So it's almost like it's a security factor that you called your partners, those people who you called to you, partners. So it's like...
Not all of them are?
No.
Two of my slaves serve as my partners.
Okay.
And they wear my collars, and that's a very beautiful thing. But I also have, for instance, my old guard Ranga slave, He has his own vanilla partner who he's been with for a great many years.
Yeah.
And so he balances his life in terms of having his the beautiful romantic relationship with his partner and then the kink relationship with me as master-slave. And so he wears my collar when we're together.
Okay.
I'm really struck by sort of the history and the, it's almost spiritual the way you describe it, the ritualistic nature of it. And I'm just wondering, we speak of dog collars, and I guess we see them in fashion. We see them in some of our pop artists wearing collars, but without the same level of thought or consideration or ritual that you speak of. How do you respond to that?
In some ways, a lot of people debate it within the kink community. Mm. I see it as a good thing because the fact that you see a lot of collars out there as jewellery then means that slaves are a little bit more emboldened to actually wear collars publicly and feel comfortable because they can walk down the street. And,
so Britney Spears is doing a service for your community.
I'm curious, Riverkeeper, in terms of acceptance and tolerance throughout the, you know, the various sectors of our community. How have you experienced that? Are people generally tolerant or not tolerant? What's that been like for you guys?
It varies. There are lots of quite horrible stories about the lack of acceptance and toleration for the idea of power exchange. It's quite confronting to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's also just simply a matter of ignorance. So some people don't understand it and prefer not to. They're happy in living a vanilla life and enjoying that, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, kink isn't for everybody.
Mm.
Some people explore it and come into the community, explore that part of themselves, and they go, yes, I'm happy to come and dabble occasionally, but it's not something that I'm going to be doing a lot of.
Yeah. I mean, I know for me, I've experienced a little bit of exposure to it in a close friend of mine who participates freely, and I've seen bruises. You know, and coming from a health background and a very old-fashioned traditional upbringing, you know, those kinds of things can be a little bit daunting.
Well, it's interesting you say about bruises. Bruises as part of impact play in terms of spanking, flogging, etc. Many subs or masochists see it as a badge of honour in terms of the bruises.
Sure.
It's a sign of play. The whole idea of pain involved in play is a huge topic.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Fundamentally, in the same way, when you look at those people that enjoy running, if you go for a run, for some people it's quite a bit of a chore. Mm. For other people, they enjoy it. Some people dabble in it. Some people do it professionally. Yeah. So
well,
pain
don't
is
do it
part
at all.
And some people don't do it at all.
And long-distance runners, they talk about the wall, you know,
yeah,
and it being painful and physically actually, you know, hurtful for them.
Yes, and then they get through it, and they then enjoy the fact that they've achieved. And so for those subs, some of them, the pain can be of that sort of nature, where the smack on skin, that sort of power, that physical, triggers deep emotional satisfaction.
Mm.
What about emotional, like telling what people what to do and having that control? As a dom, is that obviously something that you enjoy?
I do. So, for instance, my Ranga boy slave, who lives with his folks, has a regular job. We see each other once a fortnight or so. So on a daily basis, he sends me the pic of him wearing the jock strap that I've picked out for him for that day. And so he wears that for the day and very proudly. And so in a sense, I have that control over the jocks. And so the fact that I see those pics gives me a sense of satisfaction. And the fact that he's wearing it all day gives him a sense of that connection to me.
That's and that's where I see it. And because I have to say that I have been on the outskirts of the kink scene occasionally. I've, you know, obviously with this show and things like, we've met a lot of people. And the one thing that always gets me is I hate pain. I don't like
me too.
I'm not into pain. I might be into more giving it, but not receiving it. But
whole new field opening.
Well,
up
it is. But can you be a sub and not have that pain?
Of course.
You can
pain,
still...
pain play is just one aspect, of it.
Yeah.
So for instance, my kitten is not into pain at all.
Oh, cool.
Okay, and a lot of pups are not into pain play at all. It's all about, you know, the rough and tumble and enjoying each other physically, but there doesn't have to be that spank, 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 flog, flog, flog.
I'm wondering if that's why pup play is becoming so popular. Mm. Do you have a theory on that, about pup play, about what the rise of pup play in the kink community?
I think you're pretty well spot on. The fact that pain as part of the play, that's not a core part of pup play. There are pups that do enjoy it, but it's incidental. So pup is all about nurturing and loving and enjoying that sort of sense. And if a pup is a bit naughty, it gets a bit of a spank.
Spank, exactly.
But that's different.
Exactly. You are on the woods on Joy 94.9.
Catch up or relive all the Woods has to offer. Listen to the Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Woods. I'm just James. I'm here with Big Bear Mark, Bear Curious Dean, and work experience Cub Robbie, who's pushing buttons, as we said. That was Depeche Mode, Master and Servant, which is completely relevant tonight because we're having a chat with River Keeper about the dumb sub kink world.
Do you hate that song, River Keeper? I love it. It's from my teenage years, so I absolutely love that song.
Anything Depeche Mode does is good in my book.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Good, good, good. We've actually had a question coming via Facebook tonight.
We have. This has come from, I don't know if this is his real name, but it's our third testicle. Do you think his mother calls him that? I don't know. Anyway, so third testicle asks River Keeper, what's your views on BDSM events that attract kinky play outdoors? So in public, things like Up Your Alley or Folsom in San Francisco. Do you think Australia could have events like this in the streets of Melbourne? What do you think?
Wow, that would be pretty damn awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We've
got white nights. We could have like a BDSM night.
We could. We have had gay street fairs at times outside the Laird and on Peel Street, and I do remember Commercial Road. There was a big street party.
Well, Northside Bazaar actually started out as a leather fair sort of thing, but then it stopped, and then Northside Bazaar was the next incarnation. So it's not quite, but we also have Kink Fest as well.
Oz Kink Fest is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's on in September each year. And you can find details online on Facebook or at the Oz Kink Fest website.
Yeah, Ms. Malice does that.
Mistress Malice is pretty awesome with her monthly event. She and her girlfriend run that, and that's run by two dykes, and they do really well in welcoming the whole community on a monthly basis to the city of provocation.
Just going to the question, do you think Australia is ready for a Folsom Street, though?
I think we are. I think the street parties are coming up. Sadly, I doubt whether it would run in Sydney at the moment, given the lockout rules. But Melbourne, we're certainly at the high point of kink in terms of indoor facilities.
Yeah,
having a kink party would be pretty, pretty good.
I remember a number of years ago, a number of popular nightclubs used to feature Hellfire Club nights. This is like back in Perth or even when I was living in Canberra.
Oh, they were all around Sydney.
But quite sort of mainstream nightclubs. There weren't necessarily gay-themed nightclubs. But
I hosted a rope weekend recently, and we had 120 people enjoy doing rope suspension and rope ties in the great outdoors at a property outside Melbourne. And there's also an outdoor event called Hooked Up that's coming up in on Good Friday, being run.
Hello to Derek, if you're listening.
Is this where people get suspended
by hooks,
by metal hooks in their skin?
That's right.
We talked about pain before, weren't we?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. Does it
hurt?
Is that something to do with more transcendent than you go through the pain?
Of course it hurts.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's good. talking about that, I would just want to quickly talk about the crossover sort of thing between kink and bears. And obviously, we talked a little bit before about the emergence of pup play, which is very popular within the bear community. In fact, all the pups I know, except for maybe one, are in the bear community, mainly because that's where my friends are. But what about the kink community? Is there a big crossover between the kink community and the bear community?
There are quite a number of bears that come along to the pansexual events, and it's increasing, which is a really lovely thing to see. So we're getting more and more gay men who come along to events, full stop. But both cubs and bears are very welcome. The pups, as you say, there's a large contingent that are cubs and bears. There's also, interesting, a very multicultural mix. So you get various pups of colour of different nationalities that come along. There are a lot of twinks that come along as well. So it's a really welcoming group, the pups group.
Have you heard of any female pups yet?
Of course, the pup mosh is run at Splinter, and we have female pups and handlers that come along. So some mad dogs there, and Amy, and
excellent
pup Spicer. So
Splinter have been a sponsor of Joy, haven't they?
Because they have, yes,
given away prizes.
Yeah, we have in the past given away a prize on this very show to Splinter before, and so there are definitely more venues opening up, and there's more nights and things like that. And obviously, I mean, we're talking about events. I mean, and they're growing events as well.
There are. I mean, the classics are still there, of course. On a Thursday night at the Laird, you've got Spit and Polish, you have Code Black, and you've got a range of events at Club 80 and Eagle Leather and Manhouse, of course. And they, you know, the Spit and Polish runs every Thursday night from 9:30 at the Laird. And that's very welcoming with the leather dress code. And pups have now been coming in droves.
Yes, they've got a special leashed. Is it leashed? Is
leashed, that that's right. The first one was held a few weeks ago.
And that's every month, is it?
Every month to 2 months. Yeah. The next one will get scheduled. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and then you've also got specialist events that happen occasionally. I was lucky enough to go to the first recon party that they had at the Laird, and I believe they've had another one since then. And I mean, for me...
And Bluff.
Came up recently. So there's a lot of opportunity these days.
I think I was at the recon party.
Were you?
Yeah, you don't remember?
I don't remember wearing anything special.
I was going to say,
were you wearing your puppy tail, James?
I definitely wasn't.
I mustn't have recognised you because you had your gimp mask on.
I had my mask
on. Maybe you're a handler.
Maybe I was collared.
Embrace your inner handler.
I didn't know. Maybe I got collared.
I definitely would know about that.
I have one quick question. You know, just in terms of triggers, you know, like in outdoor events and things like that, Do you think it's something that we need to be mindful of? Is that, you know, we could inadvertently trigger someone's kind of...
That's very true, James. And this is the thing. You can negotiate, you can talk through stuff, and then in the middle of play, you go, oh, I didn't think about that, because you're exploring something new and different. And so you've got to be mindful to think on your feet in a sense, to make sure that if someone isn't enjoying something and has been triggered, then you've got to move and stop and do aftercare and care. And, that's a very good point, James.
You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9. This is Big Bear Mark, joined by the gang, but I'm just going to say we've got to say goodbye now, so I'm just going to keep it a little bit short. I just want to thank Riverkeeper for coming in tonight. Look, this has been such an amazing topic. Love for you to come back on. Maybe bring one of your subs next time.
Or a pup.
And we'll have another...
Those other things that you mentioned.
The kittens,
earlier?
The rangers, the boot boys. Yep.
All of those, the old guard, all of them. So thank you very much for coming. And thank you for being open and telling...
Thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you very much. I also want to thank everyone who's SMS'd or messaged us tonight as well for your wonderful questions. Dean is going to be with you in the next hour with the cheap,
the cheap seats.
What's
right.
happening tonight?
Tonight we are in San Francisco listening to a conversation with Armistead Maupin, who wrote, of course, Tales of the City.
Yay.
Robbie looks at me blankly. Tales of the City.
Robbie, have you not heard of Tales of the City?
I'm very young, guys. I'm very, very young.
Very young. We'll have to get Mandy to read it to you. she'd love that.
And Brekkie Bears on Monday?
Brekkie Bears on Monday, 6:30 through to 9 o'clock on Monday morning with Luke. Luke's back this week, so
fantastic.
I'm not on my own this week. It'll be great. And also Robbie will be there for Barely Believable as well.
This will be just right.
It'll be just right. Back to normal. I felt very alone last week. But we'll leave you tonight with a little bit of Eurythmics. And thank you to James as well. You haven't said goodbye?
Say goodbye.
Goodbye, Robbie.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, Dean.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Riverkeeper.
Goodbye.
And Wolfgar. It's goodbye for me. Wolfgar. Wolfgar.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.